Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you today for this precious psalm. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the promise of Jesus coming. And Lord, again today, we need your help. We need your power and wisdom. We just need you today to just take over these services and use them for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit of God does the convicting of sin, and Lord, certainly he also does the encouragement of our hearts. So we ask you, Lord, today that the will of God be done, and Lord, that if there's those here without Christ, oh God, let them realize that today and have a desire in their heart to be saved, be brought to Christ. My prayer is, Lord, that you be honored and glorified today. That's our desire. We ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think probably, and of course, Johnny Waterman this morning has got some other duties out. He's a daddy, and that's where he ought to be with his wife having a baby. But if I asked Johnny Waterman this morning as sheriff of Sullivan County, what's the greatest problem in Sullivan County? What do you deal with more than anything else? I'm sure without a doubt he would tell me drugs. He would tell me meth. And I understand why he would, because he faces that and deals with that every day. I'm sure probably every day of his life he deals with that. But if you would ask a preacher this morning, what is the greatest problem that we have, this preacher would say, homes. Yeah. I'd say, homes. And I want you to know, I'm going to preach a message this morning, the home, God's training camp. And that's what I believe it is. And I want you to understand something this morning. Please, please, please don't sit and take offense to the preaching on the home. The pastor's not here to offend you. The pastor's here to help you. What I believe with all of my heart, we need to get our homes straightened out. You say, Brother Ross, you know, there's just a lot of problems in my home and troubles in my home, and I don't know if it can be straightened out. Listen to me a moment. Yes, it can. I want to ask you a question. If I was going down the road and all at once I had a flat tire and I realized I had a flat tire, don't you think it'd be wise for me to stop the car and fix the flat tire? Or would it be better just keep on going until I ruined the tire and ruined the rim and ruined everything else? Wouldn't it be better just stop and fix it? Wouldn't that be wise? Well, there's some things in our homes that just needs to stop and fix. If we continue letting them go the same way they are, it's going to cause problems on down the road, and it's going to destroy them. What I want to do is I just want to preach a simple message this morning, which I believe with all my heart is that the home is God's training camp. It's where we're to be trained. I believe the problem is in our home, we're taking the very basic things of life that we used to teach in the home, not just by sitting down. We did that, sitting down and teaching about it, but by example. By example, it was just things expected of you when you was in a home. Just expected of you. And nowadays, we don't expect those things. And they're not there. And so because of that, children are growing up in homes where there's not a real example or real teachings about what the home is supposed to be. We have a lot of young couples here this morning, young folk here this morning, and I'm so thankful for that. And I want you to know something. My heart is with you. Listen, this here, raising children and raising a family in today's world is tough. It's difficult. But let me tell you, if we get back to the principles of God's word, that's where it comes in, where it makes it so much easier. And God wants you to follow the principles of the Word of God in your homes. Now, if we don't fix it, it's going to continue the same way. Don't expect change if we don't change. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to fix some things. So that's what this morning I want to try to help you. Here's one of the problems. For the last 18 or 20 years, these young people, I'm going to say that's you 18, Justin, you're 18 years old. For the last 18 years, and I'm just using him as an example, we could also look over here at Caleb, he's 19 or 21. He's 21, growing up on me. But anyway, for the last 18 to 20 years, all of these have been learning how to run their home. I've had so many people tell me, you know what, Brother Ross, boy, you step in, here you are going to be a daddy, here you are going to be a husband, you've never had any training, boy, it's all new. Oh, yes, you have. For 18 years, you've been trained. You grew up in a home, and you learned how your daddy was a daddy. How your daddy was a husband, how your mama was a mama, how she was a wife. You've learned that over the period of the 18 or 20 years. You saw it, plus you saw it in other people's lives. You saw it in other homes. And you've been trained how to run your home by what you have seen for the last 18, 20 years. That's intense training. And whether we realize it or not, that's pretty well what we do is pretty well what we follow. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you mean if my mom and dad did not teach me right, the right things, does that give me excuse? And I can say, well, no, you know, I wasn't taught right, so I'm just going to do it this way. Of course not. The whole principle is to learn what is right from the Bible and to change those things that needed changed. Go a different direction if it needed change. Don't blame mom and dad. Don't get aggravated to them. You know what I believe about my mom and dad? I believe they did the best they knew how to do. I really believe they did. And you know what? They didn't sit down with me every night and teach me things from the Bible. But I want to tell you something. They put into me some principles of life by the way they lived.
Amen.
Okay? And the things that they did not put into me, it's my responsibility to learn them and to put them into mine and for mine to put things into theirs that I might not have taught them. We can't sit around and blame everybody else for our problems. But the home is where the training ground takes place. So I want you to train yours. I want you to train your children in the ways of the Lord. I want you to help them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. I want that for you. I want that for your children. And it can be done. It can be changed. Don't let the flat tire ruin the tire and the rim. Stop and make the changes and the adjustments that you need to make. Amen. I'm going to go over to the book of Deuteronomy for just a few moments. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and then we'll come back. Hold your place there in Psalms, will you? Is it too late? Hold your place there in Psalms, but over to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse number 4. 6th chapter, 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. The word of God was to be in the heart of the Israelites. Okay, he said, I'm commanding them to you and they should be in your heart. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. What he instructed the Israelites to do is when they're in the home, they're to teach their children the things of the Lord. When they get up of a morning, when they go to bed of a night, when they walk through the through the day and the things they're doing. Principles of God's word is to be taught them. They're to train. We are to train our children on the things of the Lord. That's just what he told the Israelites. The same thing is for us. When you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when you train them up in the way which they shall go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. What he's saying is, you train them up. You start when they're in your arms. And when they're small, you begin to train them about the things of the Lord. One of the regrets that Don and I have is for the first, Lori was 9 years old, I believe, when Don and I got saved. David was 3. And we regret that we weren't saved before so that we could rejoice in their birth. We rejoiced in their birth, but a different way. We could have rejoiced in the Lord, and we could have trained them so much because it took a long time. What I'm teaching you took me a long time to learn. Not making excuses. I'm just simply saying it's true. I had to find the Word of God. I didn't have someone to teach us. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just simply saying if I'll teach you and I'll tell you these things, you ought to heed them. You ought to listen to them because I'm telling you it'll help you. It'll help you with your children, you see. It's not against you. It's not saying wherever you're at, go from there. Amen? Just go from there, wherever you're at. Go from there and learn and teach your family. So don't use the excuse, you know, well, I wasn't taught, so... No. If you wasn't taught, learn. Learn and change and do and help your family, you see. We need to get back to basics in our homes. Because if we would only realize it, what we're missing in our homes is the very basic truths of the Word of God. And it's true that we ought to teach them with the mouth, but just the example that is set in the home, it's what you expect out of your children. Used to be, that's the way it was. Certain principles were just taught by the way we lived. And that's what I think is happening in the homes today, is because, and I started off with this thing about meth. Why does kids need meth? Why do they need it? You say, Brother Ross, it's everywhere. I know it's everywhere, but why? You say, how do you stop meth? I stop meth. I think you stop it by getting back into our homes. Amen. And teaching and training our children in the ways of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, and if we don't do that, there's going to be problems down the road. That's what I'm saying. If we don't do that, you see. So anyway, if you go back to the book of Joshua, and I'm not going to go back there, but go back to Joshua, the 24th chapter, you remember Joshua making that wonderful statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've heard that. That's what Joshua did. He made a choice. He just simply said, and if you look back there, he wasn't no young man then. He was an older man. He wasn't saying, boy, today I'm going to make, no, he said, that's the way I've been living for all of my life. And I'm going to continue to live that way. I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And you take that same book, you go back to the 7th chapter of Joshua, and you find a man by the name of Achan. Man by the name of Achan chose another direction. He chose the gold, the silver, and the Babylonian garments. Now listen to me. Listen to this preacher. You're going to make a choice one way or another. You're going to make a decision on which way your family is going to go. And you see, Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. No doubts about it. We're going to serve God. Achan over here chose the gold, the materialistic, the silver, the things of this world, the Babylonian garment, clothes and things like that. That's what he wanted over serving the Lord. People today are making those same determinations. We're going to serve the world. I want the gold, I want the silver, I want the Babylonian garments, I want all these things. And they're choosing that, and because of that, Achan, if you remember, his family was destroyed because of all of that. Now, why don't we decide to choose to serve God? Amen? And see, and that's a choice. Listen to me. You say, well, Brother Ross, you know, No. Listen to me. You're going to choose. You're going to decide which direction you're going to go. That's the thing that I want to help you with this morning. I want you to decide right. Decide we're going to serve God. No doubt about it. Amen? See, and that's the only way to go. You choose the other side, and I'll tell you, you'll bring your family destruction down the road. It may not happen today, may not happen tomorrow, but down the road it's going to happen. So we need to choose, Lord. So choose to serve the Lord. I just want to give you a few things this morning. You see, I believe the home is a place of training and teaching for the whole family. I believe through Donna and I raising children, we learned so much ourselves. It built us as individuals, as people. It put things into us that would never have been put into us any other way. And I also believe that during those years, it also built our children. It built them and brought things into their lives and put some things in their lives that are still there today. David and Jessica and Don and I went to eat together last night, and he doesn't know this happened. No one knows this happened, but at the place where he rushed ahead, David rushed ahead up and opened the door for the restaurant, you know, and opened the door for everybody and let them in, and I underneath said, "Thank you, Father." Now that might be no big deal to you, but to me, there's my son putting some of those things that has been put into him. He's still doing them. You hear what I'm saying? It's not bragging on him. I'm just simply saying to you, it's right, because he's learned that that's right what to do. You open the door for ladies. Show kindness. See, I didn't have to ask him to do that. He rushed ahead to get to the door. Little thing to you, but to me, I just said, "Lord, thank you." Because that's the way it ought to be. You see, we're taught. You see, what we try to do in our children, we bring and put character traits in our children. That's what I'm saying to you. I didn't put all in my children I should have put. I'm not saying that today. I'm saying to you, that's what we should do in the home. There should be character traits put in us. And we got to build those things into our children. Character means a pattern of behavior. It's our personality or moral constitution or moral strengths. We are putting some things into our children that is proper and right so they can live the rest of their life like that. And how do you do that? Well, it needs to be practiced in the home so they will see these things and they can put them in there and be a part of their character. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen, the Bible didn't say when he's old, he'll come back, he'll depart and come back. It says he will not depart from it. Now, that's what the Bible says. See, we got this liberal thing of saying, well, yeah, they may go away, but they'll come back. It's not what the Bible says. If you train them upright, they will not depart from it. Now, listen to me. This is good teaching. Now, it's good teaching. If you just listen. Hear me out. It's good teaching. See, if we train them right, they won't depart from it. Didn't say they'll get away and come back. Doesn't say no such thing. Now, what are we training them for? What are we trying to teach? Some of the character traits that I believe that needs to be taught into our children is obedience. See, we need to teach first-time obedience. You take a 2-year-old child, you're not going to get him to obey the first time, but you keep working with him, I'll guarantee you, and teach him that the first time he obeys. See, anything up to past the first time is disobedience. When you begin to tell a child 2 or 3 times to do something, that's disobedience. When you have to tell a child to take the trash out 5 times before he does it, he's been disobedient 4 times. You need to teach them that first-time obedience. You say, what's that all about, Brother Ross? So that one of these days, when they get them a job, they obey their boss. Yes, sir. One of these days also, the ultimate thing is that they'll obey God. What they learn to do through the family is ultimately what they're going to do toward God. Okay? You hear that? So teach them. That's a character trait they ought to teach them about work. See, we have this across, there's a epidemic around the world, around this country, about work. But listen to me, the home is the place where you're taught to work. You see, you know, daddies ought to teach their boys how to work. You may not teach them everything under the sun about everything, but they ought to know some things how to work. It ought to be expected of them. It oughtn't to be something you have to sit down and say, this is what we're going to do. It ought to be something that's just expected of everybody in the family to work. It's the way moms is supposed to teach the children. They're supposed to teach them how to cook, and how to sew, how to set a table, how to do some things. These young girls ought not to be coming out not knowing any of these things. They ought to know because they've been taught, and ought to be just a part of their life. Amen? They ought to know those things, you see. So I'm saying we ought to teach them about work. We got an epidemic today about it. I'm telling you right now, if we get our homes back right and expect our young people to work in our homes, it just becomes a part of life. I don't ever question the fact that, and the reason I don't, my daddy never asked me if I wanted to work. Never. And I don't think that my children's daddy ever asked them if they wanted to work. It became a part of life. You know what they do now today? They get up and go to work. As many of you do the same thing. You get up and go to work. Why? You've done it when you was young. That's what you do. See, it needs to be built into us, you see. I believe it's in the home where we teach them good habits. I believe we need to teach them regular bedtime. I know everybody says, okay, brother, there's some days you let them stay. I understand all those things. But they ought to have a regular bedtime. They ought to have a regular getting up time. I want to tell you right now, this old boy never slept till noon. There was times on Saturday, daddy might let us sleep in maybe another half hour, 45 minutes. Boy, that was it, buddy. Get out of there. Get up, get busy. Let's go. You don't let them sleep in until noon. Get them in a regular rhythm. It's at home where they're going to learn that. Now listen to me, in all seriousness, you laugh at that, but I'm 65 years old. You know what time I get up? About 5:30 every morning. You say, do you have to? No. It's just habit. That's what I do. Why? Because it's been put in me for 65 years. That's just what I do. And that's what we need to put into our young people is some of these regular habits. That's where you learn at home is you learn cleanliness at home. That's where you learn cleanliness. Okay? You learn how to brush your teeth at home. I mean, simple things that children, young people ought to learn. That's where you learn to wash your hands. I don't ever go to the supper table or dinner table or breakfast table or anything else without going in there and washing my hands. Where did I get that? Well, I was taught that. No one has to tell me to go do that. Donna never tells me to go wash your hands, honey. I just do it. You know why? It's habit. It's just habit. Where did I learn that? Home. Amen. Now listen, those days wasn't as easy. I didn't go turn on a faucet. Went outside and they had a big old pan at dinner time. They had a big old pan outside and it was full of water. We had to pump it out of the well. They had a big old pan there and we'd pump it full of water and have a bar of soap there, and that's where we washed our hands. Everybody washed your hands before you went in and eat. I'm still doing that. Not the pan bit, but. But you're learning these things in the home. You've got to teach your children. I believe it's in the home you teach them the right use of money. I was hearing the other day something about teenagers having credit cards. And I said to myself, you know, daddy never gave me a credit card. He gave me a work permit. and said, go use it. What for? Earn some money. You want money, go out and earn it. Now, where did I learn that? Daddy's house. Daddy, mommy's house. That's where I learned it. How to spend money wisely ought to be taught in the home. Don't let them spend it for everything. Don't let them go and blow their money all the time. Don't let them do that. That's unwise. You're not teaching them how to spend money wisely. And then when they get older, they'll learn to spend money wisely. Teach them about saving. It's in the home. You ought to teach them about saving some of it. Put some of that money up that you're earning to save it. You know, adults don't do that anymore. And all at once they have a crisis. Something goes out. The washer goes out. The hot water heater goes out. They don't have any money. They don't know what in the world they're going to do. Well, save some ahead of time. Save some money. Put some money up so that when something does go out, you can go get it. And then teach them how to give in the home. You see, that's where young people are going to learn about giving. You give to the Lord's work. You give your tithe. You give your offerings. You do it in the home. Another thing that the home ought to be is a hospital. I want you to listen to this. It ought to be a place of comfort and compassion for the sick. You remember that man that came to Jesus over in Matthew 8, and he said, my servant lieth at home sick. You remember where Peter's mother-in-law was when she was sick with a fever? She was home in Peter's house. I think we're missing the boat on this. I believe with all my heart the home is the greatest hospital there is. Listen, I still remember back laying, and why do I remember these things? But laying on my mama's lap, and I had an earache. I had quite a bit of ear problems back in those days. And I'd lay on my mama's ear and it would hurt, and she would put some sweet oil. She would heat some sweet oil and drop some sweet oil down in my ear. Why do I remember that? I want to tell you why I think so, because I was laying on my mama's lap. Wasn't near the sweet oil, wasn't near the hurt ear. I was laying on my mother's lap, and her sweet hands was taking some sweet oil and putting them in my ear and making me feel better and reaching down and kissing my forehead and kissing the hurt away. Now we want to run them to the doctor for every single thing. Now listen to me. I know you have to go to doctors. I'm saying, but every little thing, you don't need to go to the doctor. You need to comfort them at home. My daddy, I was out playing, and my foot, we went barefooted out, truthfully, most of the time. Some of you shake your head. That's the way we did it, too. We went barefooted. But anyway, we went barefooted most of the time, and I got a big old thorn in my foot. It went down underneath the skin, and he could not get it out. My daddy got home from work, and he looked it over, and he said, all right. He said, put your foot up here. I put my foot up there, and he washed it and cleaned it, and it was just hurting something terrible. I mean, it really was hurting. And he said, okay, we'll take care of it. I could just see him digging on that thing. And I said, oh, my goodness. I don't know why I can take this or not, but he didn't. He went in and got some bacon fat. Now, listen, he got some bacon fat. He slapped that on that wound, took some gauze and wrapped around it. And he said, okay, Bobby, he said, now morning, we'll see what we can do. And he put me to bed. He just, he said, just take it easy this evening, and went to bed later on. Daddy got up real early. I mean, real early. He got up 4:30. I'm a pulper to what he was. He got up, and he came in there and woke me up. He said, let's look at that foot. He unwrapped it, and sure enough, you could see the edge of that little thorn. It had drawn it to the top. He went and got a pair of tweezers and just plucked it out. It hurt, but he plucked it out. Washed it off, put some salve on it. Said, just kind of stay off of it today. And patted my leg. Why do I remember that? Because my daddy was doctoring me. You see, we need to get back involved. We need to get back involved in the comfort that we can give our children. Every time one little thing happens, I know there's a choice, I know there's a time when you have to, I know all those things, but every time a little something happens, comfort them. You know why we don't today? We don't want to take the time. But what you're missing out on is tremendous. My mother, when I was just a little tyke, she fell out in the chicken yard and broke her ankle. And they all tell the story that I was standing at the doorway saying, "Mama, don't let the chickens eat you." They tell that story on me. I was pretty little. I don't remember. But I know this. My mama was in a cast there for a long time. You know who took over? Well, there was eight of us left at that time. There was eight of us. And we just took over. I don't imagine. I was so young. I didn't do a whole lot of it. But, you know, we was there. And I imagine knowing my daddy, he probably got me doing something. What, you know, listen to me. See, what you don't understand is this. I want you to listen to me a moment. Hear me out. When God allows things to happen in a family, a sickness, maybe a dad gets down and can't go to work. Maybe a mother gets down and can't do the chores that she usually does around home. God uses those things to draw a family together. Who steps up? Well, if the mama's sick, daddy steps up and says, "Okay, children, let's get busy here. Hey, you do the cooking, you do this, you do that. Let's take care of mama until she gets well." That's what we're supposed to do. And God does those things to draw a family together. I want you to listen to me. I know there's do-gooders in this old world, but do-gooders sometimes is a great hindrance. Don't you step in immediately, and when a family has had some troubles or problems, stay out of it. Maybe they're hurt. You know why God is using that? He's wanting to draw that family together. You say, is there times when we ought to step in? Yes, there's times we ought to step in, but there's times when family needs to step up and take over. That draws a family together. There's times when outsiders ought to just keep their nose out. It's just time for family. You understand what I'm saying? But is there a time when we need to step in? Yes, when we see that there is a need, really a need, we step in, we help, we understand that. But don't step in and let the family not do what they're supposed to do, because God's using that to draw the family together. And the outsiders want to jump in and do this and jump in and do that, when they don't let the family step up. Kids grow up during those times. Got to take over for mama, got to take over for daddy. Brother's sick, we got to take care of him. You see, the home ought to be a hospital. I believe the home is the place to witness. when Jesus healed the maniac there, he told him, he said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them what the Lord has done for thee." I believe the home is one of the greatest places we can witness. You hear what I'm saying? Home is a wonderful place. Children, if you've got moms and dads unsaved, you can be a great witness in your home. Tell them about not being mean, not being getting all over, just telling them about what Jesus done for you. Moms and dads, that's a wonderful testimony of for young people about what God has done for you. Home is a wonderful place to testify from. Bible talks about the man in Luke 15, talks about the man who lost the one sheep. He had 99. He lost the one sheep. The Bible says he went out and he found the sheep, put it on his shoulder, and he went home rejoicing. And the Bible says he called his friends. Where? Into his home. The home is a wonderful place of testimony for Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I got saved over at Anaconda Aluminum Company. I was working there when I got saved. And I began to witness to people and invite people to our home. Donna would fix dinner for them. We'd bring them out to our home, testify to them, tell them about the Lord. We've got to lead some to Christ because of that. It's a place to witness. You understand what I'm saying? The home should be that kind of home. Not only that, It's a place where we ought to show forth hospitality. When Jesus offered the cross, he looked down from the cross and he said, he didn't use his name, but he said, "Behold thy mother." He was talking to John. And the Bible says that that disciple took her unto his own home. The home is a place of hospitality. Home is a place we ought to show hospitality to other people. Over the years of our life, we have had evangelists, we've had missionaries into our home, one after one after one after one after one, constantly. And my wife has cooked for them. We've showed them hospitality. A home is a place of hospitality. You open your home. See, a home, and what's that doing? It's teaching your children to be hospitable. Amen. After the resurrection, the Bible says that then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Their own home. I want to tell you something about being home. I don't imagine there's a person in this room today that hasn't at one time in their life at least got home and said, boy, it's good to be home. You know why? Because it's good to be home. Home's a special place. It's just good to be in your own environment, be in your own home, isn't it? That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Lori and Bobby and Jerry and David have their own homes now. And they should have their own homes. They don't run over to my house and say, boy, it's good to be home. It's not their home anymore. They're welcome, but it's not their home. And they have their own homes. Home is a special place. And it ought to be a very special place for every individual. It ought to be made a special place. It ought to just feel good to get home. And then, you know what? Your children will grow up thinking it's just good to get home. Amen? Won't spend much time on this, but the home is a place for protection. And the reason I'm using that, if you will go back to Joseph's life in the Old Testament, some of his greatest trials and temptations and difficulties came outside when he left the home. He didn't face those while he was in the home. There was a daddy and mommy to protect. And I'm saying to you, moms and dads, you take care of your children and you use the home as a place of protection. Protect your children. Put that hedge of protection around them. It's what it's, and they ought to feel safe. They may rebel against it sometime, but they ought to feel safe under that protection that is provided for them. Not only that, the Bible says this. Learn first, listen to this, learn first to show piety at home. Do you know where you're going to learn to show respect toward God, toward parents, toward everyone else? You learn it at home. It ought to have to be taught in Sunday school. It ought to have to be taught in school. It ought to be taught at home. Because he said, learn first. Piety, where? At home. That's where it ought to be taught. We need to teach our children that. We teach them respect for the house of God. Teach them respect for God Almighty. Teach them respect for their parents and other people. Where do you learn that? At home. You learn that at home. Another thing here, he said, the Bible says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. I don't have to preach that message. Pastor Jerry preached a message, wonderful message on around the table, about eating around the table. And if you was here, it was a good message. I don't have to, but you know what? Home is the place to eat. Why? Because you gather together around the table and you talk and you converse with one another. Where? Around the table. You eat at home. Now Satan's got everybody out running, picking up a sandwich here, running there, getting a pizza, going here, going there. Never at home. You need to spend time with your children at home, around the table. The Bible also says in Titus, the second chapter, the fifth verse, that women are to be taught. He says the older women ought to teach the younger women to be keepers at home. Now listen to me. You can say anything you want to say. You can get aggravated. You can say, well, I don't care what you say. I'm just simply telling you. The Bible says be keepers at home. That's what it means. That's what the Bible means. Does it mean what it says? Is John 3:16 true? Is Titus 2:5 true? It says keepers at home. Folks, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Home is a place where women ought to be keepers of the home. I'm just trying to help you. Amen. Amen. It's at home where they ought to teach courtesy. It's at the home you ought to be taught how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. You oughtn't have to wait till they come to church or come to school to be taught how to say yes, sir, no, sir. It's at the home they ought to be taught those things. And not only that, it ought to be at the home where you're taught who ought to go through the door first. Why did I have Caleb go over this morning and open that door over for the ladies? Why don't I have somebody over here for the man? We treat our ladies right. As the choir came out, I said, Caleb, we don't have anybody to open that door. Will you go do it? He said, sure. He went over and stood like a man. He had his jacket on, which I require anybody going over there. I want him to have a jacket on. I want him to look nice. And he opened the door, went at the right time, and closed it after the ladies come out. You ought to learn that at home. Now, I don't mean he didn't know it, but I mean that's where you ought to learn it. Home. You teach them these things. Teach your sons to treat women as they ought to be treated. Kindness and grace. You teach a young man how to shake hands. Look you in the eye and shake hands. That's what you teach them. Where? At home. You teach them that. At home. Amen. And young men, don't shake hands with a lady like you shake hands with a big old burly man. You want to squeeze their hand and put them down. You give them a nice firm handshake, but don't destroy them. I've had men go to the door. Well, young men, I'll say young men, come to the door back there and want to put me down, just squeeze, and I just keep squeezing. But they want to just squeeze, you know. Well, use some sense. But look a person in the eye and shake their hands. Where do you learn that? You ought to learn that at home. Yeah, you ought to learn that very thing at home. You ought to learn how to live at peace in the home. It ought to be allowed. This old fighting stuff ought not to be allowed in the home. Everybody tells me, you know how brothers and sisters are. No, how are they? Should they be allowed to do anything they want? Should they be able to holler at each other and scream at each other and fight all the time? That shouldn't not go on in the home. You ought to stop it. You ought to correct it. You ought to get it right. I know some of that's probably going to go on, but you need to stop it. You need to make it right. Where? You learn that in the home. Where do you learn respect for others' possessions? In the home. Where do you learn how to share things? In the home. You hear me? You ought to learn in the home how to say, forgive me. I was wrong. And I'm sorry. You know where you learn to do that? In the home. Ought to be required. I don't know about your daddy. My daddy wouldn't take that. And I don't think some of yours would either. But if I was wrong, I said I was wrong. I deserved it. I have to tell someone I was sorry. I had to tell them I was sorry. See, moms and dads has got to set the example of forgiveness. D.L. Moody said one day in one of the books I read concerning him, he said that he had taken his family to task, his children to task, because they had done something wrong, definitely done something wrong, but he just took them to task, and I mean he whipped them, he done everything, and told them this and that, and ripped them up one side and down the other. And the next day, I guess God got all over him and said, you know, you needed to discipline them, but you did it wrongly. He brought them back in the next evening, set them all down, and apologized to him for the way he'd handled it. Not that he shouldn't have handled it, but the way he handled it. You know, us parents sometimes are just not right. We blow it sometimes. Should be nothing wrong with us saying to our parent, to our children, you know what, I handled that wrongly. Forgive me, and I'll do better the next time. That didn't right their wrong. I'm just saying to you, what we're doing is we are training our children for their homes. Okay? And we need to train them right. And above all, Jesus Christ should be seen in our homes. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his wonderful love for men ought to be seen in the home. Now, I don't know how you've received this morning, but it was meant to give you some help. If you don't train your children, they're going to grow up like a weed. If you don't show them what to do, teach them what to do, help them to do it, and expect them to do it, they're just going to take those things that they've learned in that home and grow up, and that's the way they're going to run their home. Amen? So I'm saying to you, you have a wonderful God that loves you and wants to help you. Raising children is not easy, but it's possible with God's help if you follow His principles. Don't just let them grow up as weeds. Teach them, train them. You hear me? Because they are being trained for their home right now. Whether it's good or bad, you are training them the way they're going to run their home.